Welcome to the Path of Power with Galexis, the group of many who speak as one. And here to introduce you to Galexis is the channel, Ginger Metro.
And hello, this is Ginger Metro, and welcome to the Path of Power with Galexis. I channel Galexis, a group of beings from many places and dimensions who speak as one. If you're not acquainted with Galexis, enjoy the show, listen, and see what you think. Also, check out the website, galexisspirit.com. I've been channeling Galexis since 1988. It's been over 20 years now, and throughout this time, and with hundreds of people and thousands of people through the workshops and over the radio and abroad in the U.S., Galexis has a wonderful love and sense of humor and has consistently urged everyone to take back their power from anyone or anything that includes ideas, governments, peoples, etc., to whom they've given it, and make choices of power for themselves, and to always love and respect who they truly are. This is the path of divine light, and when we can do this, we can dream a new reality for ourselves and those we love and for the world. The Path of Power is every first and third Monday. So next week will be Tall Cat Psychic in this same time spot. So go on to the website at galexisspirit.com when the show is over and sign up for the free newsletter and check out the calendar and workshops too. The Money Tape, Healing Your Relationship with Money, is very popular. Magic is happening as people listen to that. And you can order it online there. Now I'll head into trance, and Galexis will be with you shortly. And they will present a message, and then they will open the show for you to call in with your questions on any topic. And before I go into trance, I'm just giving you the numbers here to call, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. And also, as you listen to the show, if you think you have some feedback for us, also on the website, there's a place where you can write us and let us know what you think about the show, or if anything that you could suggest that we do differently, or a new format, or what, or add or subtract anything. So we want to hear from you, and we want this show to be fun for you. So I'm going to be quiet now for a few seconds, and so goodbye until next time from me. And now, just a few seconds of silence, don't worry, I haven't gone anywhere. Galexis will be speaking with you. All right. We are here and we are Galexis. And welcome. Welcome to the Path of Power. Yes, indeed, the channel spoke about the Path of Power and how we do mention it at any opportunity that we get. And one of the main reasons for that, of course, is that in the rapidly changing reality that you can find yourself in, if you are in your power, if you know how to make choices from your power, you can handle a lot more of some of the curveballs that reality gives you, that life sends you. You can, in a way, work your way through more and more obstacles that other people can, who are waiting for other people to make their decisions for them, to give them the path out of their dilemma. So that's why in this new reality that many of you have come onto this planet into a physical form to participate in, it is imperative for you to be able to dream and imagine a new reality. You can't have a great reality. You can't dream a new world unless you yourself are capable of empowering yourself and activating your life in that new world. You can't dream a new world and expect someone else to put it together for you. That's the approach of a child. But as an adult and as a light being, you have the fantastic opportunity to help together with others make a new reality work, bring in a change of consciousness, bring peace to the planet, bring prosperity to people, bring healing for the environment, healing for diseases that plague humankind. The answers, the solutions are all there. They're all waiting, in a sense, for you to create them, to pull them into your reality. And this also is true for yourself. And that's why we want to talk today about handling stress. You see, right at this time on the planet, with so much chaos and so much change, and we don't anticipate that there's going to be any less chaos and any less change in the future. However, the one right now, which is primarily, as far as the governments of the world are concerned, economic, can also be bringing on a lot of difficulties in relationships, a lot of stress in your health. You see, there's a lot of side effects, so to speak, from all this debacle of the banks. There's a lot of side effects to thousands and thousands of people being laid off, houses going into foreclosure or just sitting on the market, and banks unable or unwilling to lend money, and people who have spent all their life living in a debtor's type of environment, always continuously borrowing and paying and borrowing and paying and borrowing and paying, and never even thinking about the possibility of just saving and building resources and investments. A lot of people are just so, in a sense, hung up on a whole society that requires them to live beyond their means, to have what they want now without saving for it or putting money aside for it. In a sense, to live there now, to live the dream now. Now, this dream is very, very beautiful, to have what you want, to go where you want to go, to have all the things that you want to have in your life. That's beautiful. And it's wondrous if you can borrow the money so that you can enjoy it. But so many of you find it stressful to pay for what you have borrowed at this timing on the planet. This can create tremendous stress. Now, what is stress? Stress is a reaction in the physical body. It can also happen, of course, in the emotional body as well. So the reaction is to what is perceived as a challenge or a threat. Now, stress can be from a challenge that is a kind of a chronic, ongoing challenge. In other words, if you work too many hours, over time, your body cannot handle all the extra hours. It wears out. It gets worn out. And in the sense of not having enough energy or enough strength to continue extra long hours, the body can get stressed. Without eating, postponing, even going to the bathroom sometimes, postponing relaxation and rest. The body's not meant to deal with that. Now, a lot of what precipitates a person going and working, you know, extra long, long hours and wearing their body down is it comes from a stress that's emotional, feeling obligated, feeling pressured, feeling the demand, feeling pushed, feeling driven to work all these extra long, long hours. Right? And so they underneath there, emotionally, there can be a lot of resentment, there can be a lot of anger, or there can be fear if you don't get enough done or enough accomplished, that something bad's going to happen. The threat, you know? And, you know, a lot of people will stress themselves out for a carrot, you know, working extra long hours to make extra money, to get an extra bonus, to get, you know, get ahead, so to speak. But even so, underneath it all, physically, it's not enough rest. It's not enough downtime for the body. It's not enough emotionally downtime, because you want to have emotional time where you can bond with other people. And you do that with socializing or interacting with your mate or with your pet. You know, you need connection time. That's very restorative. So a lot of times stress will take some of that restorative stuff away. And so the time that you spend restoring yourself, healing yourself, nurturing yourself, nourishing yourself, is spent worried about something, pushing and driving yourself some way, this way or another, or so forth. Now, you don't even have to work extra long hours if you just worry a lot. Your body will perceive it as a lot of extra work, because when your brain overworks feverishly and emotionally and so on, it makes the body's hormonal system kick into high gear. If you have to take care of an ill family member, an ill parent or mate, this is highly stressful as well, because you don't have the support emotionally and the interaction with that mate as well as you would like to have it. And on top of what you normally do, you have that dependent person on you. And that can be very difficult, because especially if they're bedridden, or if there's a situation where you can't leave them, then you're, in a sense, tied to them. You're, in a way, imprisoned by them. No matter how much you love them, this is going to be stressful. And for some of you who have children, raising children is one of the most stressful things anyone can do. Especially at a certain ages, it's just they're all over the place, and you have to be on top of it all the time. When you don't get enough restoration for yourself, when you don't get enough balance for yourself, you can be in stress. If you don't have enough money, you can get into stress because you can worry you're not in balance. You see, when, you know, you can go into fantasy, you can go into denial, and pretend that the issue that is at hand doesn't exist, and you can make platitudes and say all sorts of affirmations to keep yourself in a so-called positive state of mind. But in the long run, most of the time, this does not work. This does not work unless you're fully empowered to say these affirmations. If you say, "Oh, my life is getting better and better every day, and my dependent, you know, mate is going to get better, and everything's going to work out, and everything's going to be great, and everything's going to be hunky dory," I just have to just kind of go with the flow and so on and so on, can be a wonderful choice if you're in your power. But if you're not in your power, if you've given your power away to that person who's ill in the bed, or if you've given that power away to your boss, or away to the mortgage, if you've given the power away to the banks, to whomever and whatever, if you give your power away to other people, if you give it away to them, in other words, looking for them to give you something, looking for them to say, "Okay, you've done enough," or looking to them to say, "You are valuable enough," or "You are okay," or "You're fine," "You're likable," "You're lovable," "You're worthy," "You're deserving of good things." If you look to other people for this, you're not in your power. You can even be at the mercy of the medical system. Very easy to go there, because doctors and the whole medical system and the insurance and all that, you know, act as total authorities in your life. They tell you what to do, when to do it. If you work with a doctor, for example, as an equal, as a partner, in a partnership, and see this doctor as serving you, rather than you going in supplication to find that doctor to take care of you and make sure that you get healthy or you feel better, you see, you're going to find that your relationship with that doctor as a partnership is going to be empowering to you, and it's much better for you as far as your health is concerned. And the same thing is true in whatever circumstance it is, whether it is your mortgage or whether it has to do with your with other issues. Children and family issues can be extraordinarily stressful. Moving, having to move again, losing your job, having to find another job, changing this, changing that. All that change requires a lot of adaptation. Now, what really holds stress in place is the emotions, because that's what activates and pushes and drives the body. When you worry, or when you get upset, or when you are scared, or when you are enraged, your body is having to take the brunt of this emotion. Right? Now, basically, there are three kinds of emotions overall that we have noticed that that people can feel that are very stressful. These are what are called negative emotions or dark emotions, and that's anger. And the anger group can include rage, it can include frustration, hostility, resentment, even bitterness. Right? It can be impatience. If you're impatient, that's an anger. You're in anger. The anger group also includes depression. Right? Tremendous depression comes with anger over time, not immediately, because anger initially energizes the body. It activates, it pushes and drives the body. But if you go too long, your body collapses and you go into depression. Right? Then there is fear. Fear and its group, fear and worry and anxiety and panic and nervousness and restlessness and agitation and that kind of thing. All the fear group also stresses the HPA axis, which is the hypothalamus pituitary adrenal axis, which is the fight or flight mechanism. Basically, the anger group activates the aggression, or for those people who are taught to never ever be angry, like nice girls, sometimes this will kick into fear, and there will be layers of anger and fear in the emotional body. But fear generally is what drives the adrenals, puts adrenaline into your system. This is the kind of feeling you get when you, take a cup of Joe in the morning. That's that adrenaline. Your adrenals are pushing, driving, going. All right. So anytime that you do that, that fear will drive you. The fear is to offer the opportunity to run away as fast as you can, you see, or to look for help, or to look for somebody to take care of you, or to protect you, or to defend you. Or perhaps you have to do it yourself, you see. But the fear group probably takes the energy out of the body faster. The third emotional group that is very stressful is hurt. Hurt has to do with sadness. It has to do with loss. It has to do with despair. It has to do with a sense of helpless, hopelessness. Hurt has to do with a sense of unworthiness. Now, the hurt is so difficult, it's so painful, that most people try to numb it out. That's a reaction to hurt. So it's like at first it kicks in all your hormones for your natural painkiller hormones, your endorphins, but they cannot manage a lot of hurt. After a while, you will try to numb it out, and you'll feel sorry for yourself and feel, oh, poor me, whine. And when you go into that, you numb it out, so it's not as deep or as intense. Now, you can transmute these emotions if you do it deliberately and consciously and in your power. Now, we've gone into detail on this in one of our workshops, which is on transmuting emotions, okay, moving from emotions. Unleashing the positive power of your emotions. That's the title. So if you want to go into more detail on how to shift these over, please, you know, go on the website and get that, galexisspirit.com. But what we're just going to say right here is that if you can consciously and in your power change your fear to excitement, that's the positive side of fear, change your anger to passion, change your hurt to loving yourself. And that would also include, of course, moving out of self-pity, which is a fake form of loving yourself, to the true form of loving and nurturing yourself. If you can transmute those three, you can reduce your stress tremendously. You will be able to be clear-headed, much more aware, and in a sense more resilient, with more resources to respond to whatever situation that you have, to be able to find resolutions or at least temporary answers, or even to be able to live for a while in the question, what, where to go, what to do, how to do it, without feeling that you're destroying yourself. So transmuting those negative emotions can lift you out of stress. At this particular time on the planet, it is really a great idea to deliberately and consciously to look at what emotions you have running in response to your reality, in response to your environment. Take your power back and then transmute them. All right. So this is our message for today, and we'd like to open up the phone lines now. We'll be glad to take a caller. And the phone number here is 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Now realize that there is a... Oh, well, here we have a caller already. All right, so, hello.
Hi. Hi, Galexis. This is Cindy.
Oh, glad to speak with you. All right, so if you could speak a little bit louder, it'd be helpful.
Okay.
That's great.
Is it loud enough?
Yes, that's super. Thank you, dear
one. Okay.
What would you like to speak about today?
My question is once you realize that you're manifesting all of these emotions physically, then how do you start to go about healing your body once you become aware of it and I'm working on not doing that anymore?
All right. Well, once you start transmuting the emotional body, that starts to change the messages that your physical body is picking up. In other words, if you move from fear to excitement, then your body starts to get that this is a positive stress, or they call it eustress instead of distress. Anyway, the result in the body is lighter, it is freer, it is more energizing. Now, the same thing with anger. If there's a lot of anger or even depression, and you shift it into passion, then in a sense, it gives you a greater capacity for personal balance in your endocrine or your glandular system and your hormones. And so what this will do will activate and energize a lot of your healing processes or internal restorative repair kind of mechanisms. Now, if you have hurt and you go into self-love, then the message that you get as you start to care for yourself, as you start to love yourself, and if you feel that you've been a real stupid idiot, then you may want to forgive yourself. But as you love yourself and take care of yourself, respect yourself, and nurture yourself, what will happen there is that your body will start to let go of the stress. Now, what we suggest that would really activate a lot of healing on the part of the body would be that any time that you have emotions and you shift them, you transmute them into their positive equivalents, always, even if it's anger or fear and you've gotten to their positive equivalents, always go back to the self-love. Even if you haven't been hurt, okay, but we'd suggest to go to that self-love because your body is your partner. And for your body to heal, you have to make an arrangement with your body. an arrangement that allows your body to trust you enough to start the healing and repair that it needs to do. Because you see, if you make a big effort to do all sorts of healing and so on with the body, but you maintain the stress, and you, of course the issue is still going on, perhaps, and so you're still maintaining the stress and you're not really working on the self-love per se, what the body's going to do is, okay, you're giving me like 15 minutes, you're giving me some nutrition, you're giving me some nice food and stuff like that, and okay, so you gave me a little bit of rest and that kind of thing, but, says the body, what are you going to do tomorrow? You tend to be mind-ridden anyway, says the body, and you might just kind of go back to, as soon as I start feeling better, you're going to ignore me and you're going to keep going back and abusing me like you have been. I don't trust you. I'm just going to wait here, and I'm going to wait and see. You understand?
Yeah. It's been waiting a really long time.
Right. So then what we would suggest in that case is that the stress has gotten, in a sense, as an issue, has gotten embedded into your habitual responses to your body, habitual responses to your environment. Okay? So if the body has been ill for a while, has been, you know, down for a while, it's going to take perhaps a lot of extra nurturing for the body. Now, we did do a workshop specifically on this topic, and it's called Healing Your Relationship with Your Body. And in this, we talk about what illness is, how the body puts it there, why the body can maintain and create chronic conditions, and so forth, and then also how to create a new relationship and a new agreement with the body and establish the trust. So the body would say, okay, all right, then I'll start to heal because you have agreed and I trust you that you're going to be different this time. You're going to have a different balance within yourself and between yourself and the world, and you're going to give me more of what I need. You understand?
Yeah.
All right. After the negotiation is made, it may be that you have to renegotiate your whole lifestyle. You see, if you've had to make tremendous adjustments in your lifestyle because of your body's health, and it feels like you're denying yourself stuff, you may have to stop and think about, perhaps is the reason or the purpose for me to continuously seem to sabotage what I seem to want to do in my life all the time because of health concerns. Maybe it would be a good idea for me to reevaluate if that's what I've been aiming for is really what my soul and what my spirit are really aiming for. You see, most people
yeah.
aim towards a certain form, the way a certain reality looks. And, you know, like when people talk to us, like, you know, what's my purpose? Most of the time they want to know, like, what's my career? Or something to that effect. They want to know what the form of the expression of themselves is. They want to know what the best job is for them, or something like that. That's the form. So what you have to do, we would suggest, is you may have to totally renegotiate the form. Maybe your body's got you've got to really overbalance in the sense in favor for your body's nourishment. Now there are some programs, if you get with a really good nutritionist, someone who is really or a very good person who knows the holistic body, knows about energy, knows about nutrition, knows about even traditional or forms of healing, magical forms of healing, as well as the regular standard medical approaches. If you can find someone who has this wide range of approaches, this person can, in negotiation with you, as a partner with you, set up a program that's kind and loving and nurturing to your body, and your body will respond. Do you understand?
Yes. I understand.
Do you, and what is it, if you don't mind sharing, is that you have, what has it been diagnosed as far as your body is concerned?
It's been several things. I've been battling with, let's see if I work backwards, shingles, fatigue. Basically, my immune system is depleted, and so I'm constantly fighting infection or illness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I know what the cause is. It's my job. I've been looking for a job now for 2 years. I have a job. I need to change jobs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The entire environment in which I'm working.
That is very true. That's very true, because where you are in your job, there is a suppression of your spirit that is virtually unbearable to your body.
Mm-hmm.
It just can't stand it. It just is an absolute... You're holding a lot of rage in you. Rage. Now, rage has a lot of powerlessness in it, because you've been stuck in this job. You've been feeling powerless in this job.
Mm-hmm.
And you're powerless to get out of it. Stuck there, in a sense, trapped, imprisoned. And so there's a lot of powerlessness. And powerlessness combined with anger produces rage.
Mm-hmm.
And rage will manifest itself in your body as things like shingles, you know, herpes and things like that, and infectious diseases. They will all show up. Anything with your nerves will show up. That's, you know, very often rage. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we would suggest you might want to do some anger releasing, some rage releasing. Take your power back in meditation over and over and over again. Even when you're at work, take your power back. Just all you have to do is to realize that you gave your power to them there, and that you have to say, I take my power back. And you have to say, I make this conscious, empowered choice to stay at this job until I find this new job. And body, listen to me carefully. I'm making this empowered decision to create a much better job for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to do it and make these statements in your power.
Yeah, and I have an interview tomorrow, so
great,
we'll see.
Great, wonderful. You can prepare for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you want to go in there in your power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because your inner child is can be freaking out. Your inner child can say, please, 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 I need this, I want this job, you know, and want to get the job out of the way, the child out of the way, so that the job can be clearly evaluated from your adult perspective, you
mm-hmm.
know. So you might want to do a little meditation before you go in and find all the parts of you that's objecting, and just give them anything they want. It's like a child, give a child some tasty candy or whatever, or give the child a really great playmate and have them run off together or something. You know, just in a way, using your creative imagination to take care of all the parts that are like upset or worried or freaked or demanding or needy. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because then when you walk in your power and say, I choose to come in and apply here because this company and these people and so on, this is where I feel I have a good resonance. Let's talk about the possibilities. And you're there in your power.
Yeah, this will be an interesting interview because I don't know what the job is. I only know what the company is. It was purely through a conversation with someone.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
I'm going to be going
magic.
Into it totally open to, who knows, I can come out of there with no job or come out of there with the perfect job, but I have no idea. So
right. So since it's going to be magic anyway, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever is going to come out of tomorrow is going to be, in a sense, magical because you have no clue right now.
Yeah.
All right? So plan it. Create good magic for you. Talk to your body. Get your body in sync with you. We're going to get a new job, and there's a really good chance that we can manifest and create a really good job. Body. So let's get together and let's look at the kind of pace, the kind of style of work that fits the temperament that we have, body, let's together, let's look at what would be the best timing for the job, how many hours, the way you work, how many hours, and this way and that way, and so forth. Because some people cannot handle being at a desk all day. Some people can't handle being on their feet all day. Some people can't handle having to be at the job at 6 a.m., and other people can't handle working a job later in the night, you know?
Talk
with your body, and you and your body decide what would be the ideal circumstance for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then imagine, before you go in, visualize before you go into the job, that what they offer you can be negotiated so that you can get that kind of lifestyle. You see? So that so start going in there with the parameters and just say, well, how can it really get good? How can it really be magically positive for me? How would I feel if it was a really good one? Let me just imagine myself coming out of this job interview and just smiling and beaming, and what would that good free feeling be? You see?
Mm.
All right? Now,
mm-hmm.
there's one more thing you might need to get rid of before you go into that job, is that any kind of resentment or any kind of frustration and long-term bitterness or whatever at the current job, it'd be good for you to kind of beat a pillow or do something, write a nasty letter or whatever, just to kind of get it expressed and get it out of you.
Mm-hmm.
So that you go in there without any resentment to your current job. And when that happens, you have an energy of you have more light, you have a sense of freedom, and there's everyone is psychic, even they don't admit it. So the interviewing person is going to pick up on that you're not a resentful person.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And they want people who are optimistic, people who are loving, caring. They want these type of people working for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because these make the best employees. They don't want somebody who is frustrated and hostile and resentful or whatever. They don't want anyone like that. So get that out of your energy field before you go in. And in general, it's good to get that out of your energy field every day. When you come home from work, do 5 minutes of really cleaning out the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Clean out your work, you know, from the day, so it doesn't stay in your body overnight. Okay?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Because, you know, your body's been burdened down too much. It's holding on to the job 24/7 now. You
mm-hmm.
want to kind of clean that rage out. The rage is your critical one.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yeah.
So that will help your body actually start to be a bit stronger, and to increase your immune system, that's the self-love piece.
Mm.
When you love yourself, if there's any judgments and criticisms you have about yourself or any way you kick yourself around, maybe you ought to let that go too. Forgive yourself for having kicked yourself around, right?
Yeah.
Okay? Anytime that you indulge in worrying, this is not kind to yourself. Right? Yeah, you have to think about things, and you have to feel things, but worry is just kind of an endless loopy kind of thing. And intellectually you know that it doesn't work for you,
mm-hmm.
if you indulge and just kind of let it go an automatic, you're really anchoring in a tremendous reduction in your immune system.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so try that out, okay?
Okay.
Thank All right.
you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you, dear one. That was a very good question. All right. Farewell
Bye.
To you. Well, dear listeners, as you can hear, you see the applied experience of transmuting out of stress, you know, can jumpstart a lot of healing. So we open up the lines now. For anyone else who would like to call in, and again the numbers are 877-876-5227, and know that there's a little time delay, but and if that phone number is busy, that oh well gosh, you're prompt today. Hello.
Hello. Hi, Galexis.
Hello.
I have a question for you.
All right.
So it seems today I got a letter that, not to go into detail, basically let me know that all the money I was expecting to come isn't going to come, and that it could even result in some legal problems. And that's not my life, you know. But I think the spiritual work that I'm doing, a lot of things are falling apart, and I'm not afraid of loss, but of being so disconnected from society, you know, possibly not having a place to live or having to get rid of my car or all these things that it's really upsetting. And I just wondered if you could give me some perspective on this sort of bottoming out that's happening in my life recently.
All right. All right. Well, first of all, on an energetic basis, we can see the stress in you. We can see the impact that this has on you. Yes, it's quite devastating. It's like having the rug pulled out from under you just when you thought that finally you were going to get something there. And we would like to suggest, even as hard as it may initially seem to be, to do a transmutation. By that we mean to deliberately and consciously take your power back from these people who are, in a sense, denying you this money. You know, whoever it is you're interacting with here. What is it, an insurance company?
It's unemployment. I mean, it's ultimately my fault. I think it was a self-sabotage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a few different things happened that sort of tripped into this snarl. And, you know what, that's fine. Like, I could deal with,
Okay, you've basically taken the anger off of yourself, yes?
Well,
have you forgiven yourself for that?
Like, yeah, I don't feel like I'm stupid. I feel like I did it on purpose, and I set all this up on purpose, and I'm looking at this big, you know, loss of almost everything, and I know that it's like myself trying to tell myself that I have all these incorrect beliefs, so I get that, but like I don't know what to do, like about changing my beliefs. Like I keep trying to figure out how to do it.
Well, this is more than just a belief here. What this really is that when you did those things that in a sense sabotaged the situation, you were in a certain state of mind, you're a certain state of emotion, okay? And we would suggest that you kind of review that, because there was elements of this. For example, there was an element of there was some hostility initially. There was you had some anger, you had some defensiveness, you had some what we call entitlement, in a sense that, well, you know, because of this and this and this, I should have this. And that kind of entitlement energy we would call it in the anger group. It would be a way of, in a sense, covering an anger is stepping into the energy of princess. You know, this is what I should deserve. This is what I should get, in a sense. And it should be coming to me regardless of what I do. And the reason we're saying this is because if you remember the emotional state you were in and the kind of way you were when you were a teenager, do you remember?
Well, I think so. Hard to have perspective, but...
Right, but in a sense, we'd say your inner adolescent self is the one who's sabotaging you here. She is the one that's angry that she's not getting life the way she thinks she should have it.
Well, sort of an answer to that, I mean, Abraham Hicks talks about how we are all, you know, deserving and asking and is given. It's just a matter of allowing, and the only thing that holds back what you, you know, desire from coming is your own beliefs. Do you agree with all that?
Well, yes, and... They don't go certainly if you read more of the book, if you do more like of the workshops in depth, you will find that there are other pieces of the puzzle that that's the basic in its most simplistic form. But there are pieces in there because, yes, your beliefs are formed around events in your life and the way you interpret them and the way other people interpret them, and they decide this is the way it is, and then you have a belief there. And the thing is that all through your life, you're building new beliefs and you're deleting old beliefs. However, if you pile on beliefs, say, when you're an adolescent, but you don't let them go, then your belief as an adult is that if you have stress, if you have a challenge, you can just run back into your adolescent because your adolescent self was the one who dealt with this type of challenge. And you can just go back there and you will just repeat kind of the response and the reaction patterns you had back there. So you can go and find a belief from any point in your life and pull it up to the front and push it in there. It's like you have many different facets of yourself, and if the one facet is not taking charge, then another facet will come in. And a lot of times we find, and this is what's happening a lot as well, when people are in crisis, is that as adults, that sometimes they pull a blank as to what to do and as to how to respond. And they, instead of thinking and feeling through a new response that's unique in to the environment, they'll go back to the habitual way that they respond. And that habitual way may be a way that a person has set up their response pattern from age 18 or age 23 or age 11, you see. And so the point we're saying here is this, is that what we see sabotaging you is a part of yourself that's old. You see, if you're letting that old piece come in and say, this is the belief to hold here. This is the way to respond here. And we're not saying you're having that this moment, but that was what came in the sabotage event. That was what sabotaged. So what you want to do is to heal that part, is to let that part go, take your power back, step into your adult self, the mature self, the one who is responsible and empowered, not feeling responsible like, oh my gosh, you know, I made my bed, now I have to lie in it, and, you know, I'm shooting myself in the foot. It's almost like an underlying judgment can come with that. Don't let yourself fall for that. Don't let yourself go there, because it's really not your fault, okay? But there's a certain tendency to go back and pull on it more immature parts of yourself, and some of that is because some of those emotions back there have not been cleared. They have not been processed. Your situations in the past did not get resolved, so they got pulled forward. And if you don't deal with them now, they're going to be extended into your future, and you're going to encounter them again in the future. And that's what creates these patterns. And so, in a sense,
how do you clear emotions? Like, what does that mean? Because I read that in a lot of books, and I see I want to let go of this or that, but then nothing happens. Like,
all right,
is
here's
it just a matter of thinking it, or
Thinking it is only, that's what most people do. Most people analyze their emotions. Now, you do that to find out what the emotion is. It's in there, but you can feel it, you can sense it, because just think about the self that you were at the time that you sabotaged it, that you did the thing, or whatever, the actions, or that you failed to take the actions, or whatever that you know at this time that probably would have helped you a lot. If you go back to the self that you were at that time, during that sabotage, you're going to find that you're in a different emotional state than you are right now. That was a different emotional state. And that emotional state also came from somewhere way in your past, okay?
Okay.
So what you want to do is just try to remember that, go into that emotion that's there, and then express it. Now, there are several ways to express anger, for example. One is you can write a nasty letter, and you can write it in extreme depth, and then you can read it and then you can add stuff to it, and then the next day you come in there, you can read it again and add stuff to it until you get everything out in that letter. Express every judgment, every just spew. You know, don't try to be Miss Nicey Nice, okay? But just spew all sorts of judgments and anger and hostility and whatever, and just put it down and make it as strong as you can. Make it as powerful as you can, just putting it down on paper. And that's one. And after on the third day, you read it again. The third time you come to it, you read it again, and make any additions, and then you burn it.
Okay.
That'll get rid of a tremendous amount of anger.
Okay, I can do that.
A second one is just imagine in your mind whoever it is, if you have a trigger person, you know, just visualize the person, tell them off, beat them up, blow them up, and then forgive them. But you have to get everything off your chest before you can forgive them. But that releases gobs of anger, okay? So those are just two techniques that you can use to release anger. Now, this is very important because very few people are given the tools on how to handle their emotions. If you notice in this culture, people are assumed that they've got to be cool and calm and on top of their emotions at all times, and nobody really understands when a person is in anger, you know, it's a person can just lose control. You see, or they're afraid they're going to lose control, so they stuff it, you know. So none of that really works, but the culture has it that if you lose control and if you act, you know, like a, you know, emotional, then something's wrong with you, and they will shame you for it. They will judge you and so on. But it is not because they know how to handle it, because if they knew how to handle emotions, your getting bent out of shape emotionally wouldn't bother anybody at all. Okay, so your whole culture is running scared about how to handle emotion, and it is afraid of intensities of emotion. But if you will get into the emotional and express it, you know, like, for example, for fear, to express fear, you want to get into the fear, feel the fear, realize, first of all, that the fear is not something that's immediately happening, but something that could possibly happen. You understand? It's
yeah.
Future, right? Okay, so you get into that, and you really see the scenario, and you just take the worst-case scenario, you just extend it to what it could really horribly be. And in your case, your worst-case scenario might be that you're homeless, sitting on a street corner somewhere. You know, you really have to go and face what the end result could, the worst-case end result could be. And then, from there, realize that you can at any point in your life take your power back, and that you can think and you can feel for yourself and make choices. So if you were there homeless on the street feeling lonely, dejected, without anything to your name at all, no car, no job, no nothing, if you were just there, and on top of it, let's say you're feeling horrible, you know, and you're hungry, okay? Worst case scenario, what would you do? Wouldn't you get up and kind of crawl to a soup kitchen or something? You understand?
Well,
you would do something to start over. It's not like the ETs would not come and take you to Mars. You would actually make yourself start over. Okay? And if you can realize that you will survive, you will somehow or another figure out what to do. It will start shifting the fear that's right here and now. Now, that doesn't mean that worst-case scenario will happen. Most likely, it will not. You see? But this is a way to get rid of the fear, in a sense, by building a sense of confidence that there's something you will always be somehow able to do.
Well, a lot of law of attraction people talk about not wanting to imagine the worst because then you create. So if I sit around and think, you know, what is the worst case scenario, what keeps it from triggering that into reality?
Ah, very good question. We're glad you asked that one. Because it's all intention. What is your intention about thinking about and feeling the fear that goes with the worst case scenario. It's not to create it. The intention, okay, power of intention is the most important thing here. The power of intention is to clear it. The power of intention is to change that fear, is to empower yourself. The intention is to shift that fear out of you. You understand? So if you have that intention to shift the fear out of you, you can visualize scary stuff all day long, and you'll be clearing it out of your system rather than calling it and attracting it to you. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
It's like if you're really, really angry at someone, and you visualize yourself beating them up and blowing them up and destroying them. Now, if people go, oh, gosh, I can't do that. That's imagining that I'm hurting somebody. Well, what is the intention here? The intention is not to hurt that person in real life. The intention is to get rid of the anger.
Okay.
You see? And so that's so that what you're seeing there is not the person. It's not a voodoo thing you're doing on them. What you're seeing is the person. And from that point of seeing that person, you're seeing an image of that person so that you can have a focus through which to express your anger to, and to blow your anger out through. All right? This is very, very important, and a lot of people miss this particular one. Very glad you brought that up, because for many people, this is the missing piece, and if they don't know that, they end up suppressing their emotions, they end up denying them, they end up numbing them out, pushing them away, stuffing them down into their bodies and so on, because they're afraid to feel them. You understand? You see?
Yeah, I mean,
and if that happens, then you're not if you were to do that, you would not be dealing with your emotions. You really just wouldn't be dealing with them. So basically, they'd just be sitting there and getting in your body and making you toxic. They would be creating this kind of magnetic energy around you that indeed would attract more gunk to you. Because eventually, when you have the intention of releasing them and you start releasing them, you will notice that your reality will shift to the positive. But you have to have that intention. And you have to honor the emotion and listen to it and feel it, because it's the respect of the emotion that's so important. A lot of times, the emotions are just messengers. They're just telling you what's what. They're telling you where you give your power away. They're telling you what you need to address. They're telling you what you need to change. They're telling you, just giving you messages. You don't shoot the messenger. You don't deny the messenger. You listen to the message. You feel the emotions, and then you let them go. And then you can choose what emotional states you wish to have, and you can envision what it is you desire. Most people sabotage what they are envisioning and what they are desiring because they are refusing to deal with their emotions. It's very common. We'd say that over 99% of sabotages are created because of emotions that are suppressed or, in a sense, not identified at the time. Right.
Well,
unfortunately,
time, but thank you, Alexa.
You're certainly welcome. Unfortunately, we must go. The show is coming to an end. We thank you so much for calling.
Bye-bye.
All right. Farewell, dear one. And thank all of you for listening to this show. We have appreciated your being with us and being present with us and listening with us. And we hope that we have a chance to speak with you again at some point in the future, or that we may see you at one of the workshops that we do have in the L.A. area, and also in Marin County in the Bay Area. So we would love to speak with you more, but we must go. Now, next week at this time is Tall Cat Psychic, but we will be with you 2 weeks from today for the Path of Power. And once again, if you have any feedback, go to galexisspirit.com. And perhaps you might be interested in some of those titles. And also, there's essays and things that we've written that you might find very interesting. So that's it for now. And thank you for coming and listening. And we hope to hear from you again. And this is it on the Path of Power, Galexis. Farewell.